The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Benevolent God, you are the source, the guide, and the goal of our lives. Teach us to love what is worth loving, to reject what is offensive to you, and to treasure which is precious in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And the children can come forward for the children's sermon. It's Deacon Jennifer.
Thank you, Penny, for coming up.
Thank you, Maddie.
Come on up.
Thank you, Danielle.
All right, good morning. How are you guys doing? Good. Today's gospel is, Jesus is teaching us a lesson using a story. And you know what usually happens through stories? Gets a little confusing, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, in this story, a farmer, he grows a lot of crops. And he had so many that grew that he decides that his barn isn't big enough. So what do you think he wants to do?
Make it bigger.
Yep, he wants to make it bigger and better, and so he does. Then he tells himself, since he has all of these crops, that now he can rest, relax, not worry, because he has so many things to last him forever in his mind. So what do you think about that? He's messed up is what Penny
said. Plants need to be watered and stuff.
Well, this is after he's harvested them. So it's like the corn that you can keep or the apples. So he has plenty to feed him for his life. Penny says, what, did you think about the animals that are going to eat it? You're right. So he's not thinking about himself or thinking about others. He's thinking only about me. So is that how we are raised in our church, in our Christian life, to only think about me? Okay. Well, and what about all those people that helped him grow all those crops?
Yeah.
What should he do with that? Just say, no, that it's all mine.
Like, if somebody did work for you, then you have to, like, pay them.
So you should pay them or share, as Penny said, give them some of it. You're right. So the farmer was only thinking about himself. He wasn't thinking about how the rain helped him grow his crops, all those workers. So now what if I do this? What does it say on the back?
We.
God wants us to not think about me. He wants us to think about we. God taught us to love each other, to care for everything in the world, without having to keep it all to ourselves. I know we like to do that. I know especially when I play the game Monopoly, I want all that money to myself. But that's not right, because that's when I'm only thinking about...
That's
okay, so what if I got all of the chocolate in the world, and I kept it all to myself?
All the children would hate you.
You're right. So, I shouldn't do that. I should think about we. So, God wants us to love each other. He forgives us. He wants us to serve others. So, in your lesson in Sunday school, in your craft, I want you to think about what could you do that could help and serve others and show your love to others. Okay? I do not. I don't have any with me, but I'll bring it next week for you. So remember, you are part of God's community, part of Christian community that He has given and created for us. So go out and love each other and love others. Serve them. All right, you may go to Sunday school.
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. They are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
A reading from Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I, the teacher, when king over Israel in Jerusalem, applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to human beings to be busy with. I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun. And you see, all is vanity and a chasing after wind. I hated all my toil in which I had toiled under the sun. seeing that I must leave it to those who come after me. And who knows whether they will be wise or foolish? Yet they will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This is also vanity. So I turned and gave my heart up to despair concerning all the toil of my labors under the sun. Because sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. This is also vanity and a great evil. What do mortals get from all the toil and strain with which they toil under the sun? For all their days are full of pain, and their work is a vexation. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This also is vanity. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 49 responsively. Hear this, all you peoples. Give us ear, all you who dwell in the world.
You abide freely and low with rich and poor together.
My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and my heart shall meditate on understanding.
I will incline my ear to a proverb and set forth my riddle upon the heart.
Why should I be afraid in evil days when the wickedness of those at my heels surrounds me?
The wickedness of those who put their trust in their own powers and boast of their great riches.
One can never redeem another or give to God the ransom for another's life.
For the ransom of life is so great that there can never be enough to pay it.
In order to live forever and ever and never see the grave.
For we see that the wise die also, like the gold and stupid they perish and leave their wealth to those who come after them.
Their graves shall be their homes forever, their dwelling places from generation to generation, though they had named lands after themselves.
Even though honored, they cannot live forever. They are like the beasts that perish.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Colossians. So if you have been raised with Christ and seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free, but Christ is all and in all. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who sent me here to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things that you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. For the past few months, the gospel that we've been following is Luke, and there are many passages that pertain toward money and how money is given status in society. Reading through Luke's gospel today, we are dealing with yet another money situation. Lucky me, I get to give my first sermon on this. Yay! Jesus, as his modus operandi, answers a question in today's gospel with a parable. It's like when you are in college and you ask the professor a question and they answer you back with another question. I truly believe that Jesus is purposely turning the question around and telling us that we are not asking the right question, and the answer that he is going to give us is not the answer that we are looking for or the answer that we want. The questions that Jesus raises in each of his parables clarifies to us what we should be asking and how we should be living our lives. We are taught in polite society that we shouldn't talk about money, social justice, and religion, the three things that Jesus talks about the most. It's a little ironic. Talking about money as it pertains to the church, our family, our friends, or our overall status in society can cause an uneasiness amongst people. When we read about money in the Bible here at St. Peter's, I always give my thoughts to Darlene Truver in her role as the treasurer of St. Peter's. As members of the church, we freely give our hard-earned money, and we each have an expectation of it being spent lovingly and prudently. But there is a small prominent movement advocated by some preachers, mainly on TV, known as prosperity theology. As a member of a church like that, you give the church and the pastor money, and by doing so, God will bless you and make you rich. The only problem is, this is not gospel. What sadly happens is that these pastors and other church leaders are suddenly driving around in expensive cars and flying in private jets. In reality, God's promise to us is that in his kingdom, those that are last here on earth will be first, and those that are first shall be last. Which then leads us to what Jesus is alluding to in today's gospel. How much is enough, and what's going to happen to our money and our material things when we are no longer here on earth? I personally don't have any children, but I do have a slew of nieces and nephews, 16 in all. When I talk with my siblings, their overriding concern is like so many other parents. They want a better life for their children. Is a better life one of material things? Is it one where you work hard and when you pass away, you leave your heirs a bag full of money? While reading today's parable, I was reminded of the song "Cats in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon" by Harry Chapin. The song is about a father who works very hard to provide for his family. The son wants his dad to be there and play with, but there are bills to be paid, so the dad's off to the office. When the son turns 10, he gets a baseball from his dad and again wants his dad to play with, but again, there are flights to catch and reports to be made. The final stanza is that the father has retired and now he's got all the time in the world. He calls up his son, who answers the phone, but now the son's got a sick child, has a demanding job, has bills to pay, and no time to talk, but ends the conversation by saying, "It sure was nice talking to you, Dad." Only then does the man realize that he's worked so hard to create a nice home, to earn presents for his children, to have a wife, and he didn't give the most important that he wanted to, that his family wanted to give, himself. So there he is, sitting on his life's bumper crop of grain in his barn to build another barn to last the rest of his life, and he now realizes that he didn't do the one thing that his son wanted, being there. Being present in your children's life, being present in your spouse's life, being there in your family and your friends' lives. I am certainly not going to make an argument for or against being rich versus poor, nor am I going to make any connections that being poor is a punishment or is it a blessing. Same can be said of being rich. Scott and I have been very blessed with the ability to travel. We've been to numerous countries and visited a wide range of socioeconomic communities. What is fascinating to me is that we have visited a small Cambodian village and a desolate African village where, in each case, multi-generational families are living happily under one roof. The rooms are divided by curtains, the floor is dirt, and there is nothing remotely like air conditioning in a hot and humid environment. Yet you see the sense of community, a sense of family, and a happiness in their lives with a common purpose. I didn't see them living hand to mouth, nor did I see storage bins overfilling with grain. Happiness and contentment is neither being rich nor poor. What I believe is the real meaning of the parable in today's gospel is how the farmer is reacting to his newfound wealth. In the parable, Jesus doesn't fault the farmer for having a bumper crop. He hasn't implied that he's gotten his goods through evil or ill-gotten means. What Jesus emphasizes is how the farmer is relating to his newfound wealth. Let me read a couple passages from the parable. "I will do this. I will pull down my barns, and I will build larger ones, and there I will store my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul." There is absolutely no reference to the others that helped the farmer. Who provided the rich soil for the crops? The rain that fell? The sun that shone? Did the farmer have any help sowing and reaping his crops? He made no mention of having any help and that he's done this feat entirely on his own. Above all else, he never once made any mention to thank God for his bountiful crops. It is quick to fall into this thinking of, "I did this all by myself." I, me, myself, are the dangers that are lurking in the underlining of today's parable. If we go back and revisit the Cats in the Cradle song that I mentioned earlier, what would have the theme of the song been if the parent had spent time with their child and taught them to throw and catch the ball? Wouldn't it be great if the child caught the ball during a game and then handed the winning ball to their parent as a thank you for their time and effort? It always makes me happy when someone gets an award and they begin by thanking God from whom all blessings flow. And then they thank their family and their friends for the love and the support to achieve their dreams. The second fault that Jesus is trying to depict is that the farmer is foolish. Again, the farmer is not foolish for having so many crops. He's foolish to believe that he thinks his future is now secured by his newfound wealth. In the parable, the farmer says, "Soul, you have ample goods laid out for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry." We are frail, vulnerable beings. No matter what advancements there are in medicine today and tomorrow, we are all going to die. The farmer is planning on locking up his grain and using it for his own benefit. However, if we remember that we came into this world with nothing, we are going to enter God's kingdom with nothing from this earth. We are only going to enter God's kingdom through the grace of our Lord, the love of our Lord, and the peace of our Lord. No amount of crops we've accumulated or saved, no amount of money we've earned, nor ingots of gold that we can accumulate or inherit will please the Lord. It is how we use our resources that God has so graciously given to us that will please the Lord. Helping our neighbors, teaching our children, striving for peace and understanding amongst our neighbors, and preserving our Lord's world for future generations is the guiding path into the kingdom of God. Grace. It's a very powerful and beautiful world. We've named our children Grace. Elvis Presley has named his estate Graceland. There are amazing songs about grace, and poems have professed the power of grace. While researching for today's sermon, I found this quote. Grace is the opposite of karma. Karma is about getting what you deserve. Grace is about getting what you don't deserve. Grace doesn't cost us anything. It's more valuable than a bumper crop of grain. It's more expensive than all the gold in the world, and yet our Heavenly Father gives it to us for free. And because of it, we are set free. The grace of the Lord be with you.